Benjamin Netanyahu's 12-year reign as Israel's prime minister is much likely to end on Sunday. Naftali Bennett, a far-right politician leading Yamina party, and Yair Lapid, a centrist and opposition leader of Yesh Atid party, moved closer to forming a coalition after four inconclusive parliamentary elections in 2 years, and Netanyahu's repeated failure to form a coalition.
Shamati et Naftali Bennett.
Netanyahu accused Bennett of trying to form a leftist ruling structure that would ensure his rise to premiership. He said that Bennett had been sowing discord, division, and hatred against him.
There are many reasons behind efforts by the Israeli parties working together to oust Netanyahu. He has always declared himself as the only leader of Israel. He has no rival even within his own party. Meanwhile, he has failed to form a coalition so far. Therefore, removing him from the political scene could serve as a strong blow on the Likud and Netanyahu himself.
Bennett said his party would work with the opposition leaders to build an alternative cabinet. Observers say the alliance between eight relatively small parties with a diffuse range of ideologies won't be easy. But if they succeed, they had agreed that the prime minister's post would rotate between Bennett, a former settler leader who rejects the concept of a sovereign Palestinian state and champions the religious right, and Lapid, who is considered a voice of secular centrists.
It's not an easy mission. We are speaking about the ideological differences between two opposition parties. That's a complex decision for Bennett. They have to tackle lots of problems before forming a cabinet. Moreover, Netanyahu won't remain silent. He may take people with right-wing tendency to the streets to hamper efforts by any future cabinet.
Netanyahu has been holding on to power for the past 12 years. His popularity has, however, suffered an unprecedented plunge among the Israelis, who have been holding regular rallies outside his residence for months on end to force him to resign.
Today, experts say nothing must be taken for granted because what's being described as the anti-Netanyahu cabinet of change is still not an accomplished fact. They say Netanyahu is not simply departing the scene without a fight for remaining in office. Mona Kandil, Occupy Ramallah.
South Korea is hosting the P4G Seoul Summit on Climate Change, bringing together leaders from more than 60 countries. Held both offline and online, the meeting sought, quote, inclusive green recovery toward carbon neutrality. South Korean President Moon Jae-in pledged more international aid.
We will provide more assistance to developing countries to lay tailored green growth policies. Countries have their own stages of economic development and thus they also differ on the dependence on coal power. Certainly more assistance is needed to transition into a low carbon economy.
Outside, critics point out that South Korea continues constructing and exporting coal-fired power plants, which generate the most CO2 emissions of all fossil fuels globally, about 30%. South Korea's pledge to end coal power financing. Climate change scientists agree that the COVID-19 pandemic and its lockdowns reduced human activity, which caused a reduction in CO2 emissions. But that reduction in climate-changing pollution will be short-lived. As people drive back to work, factories reopen, and airlines resume their pre-pandemic flight schedules. As the forum took place, environmental activists marched to the venue, critical of the government's carbon record and a new green growth plan to cut down old growth forest to replant young carbon-absorbing trees.
The P4G summit talks about solidarity for green growth, but the climate crisis talks that count on growth are wrong from the start. The current climate crisis is the result of infinite growth for the nation and capital, for power and greed. Even if you put green in front of growth, that's just whitewashing the truth.
P4G, Partnering for Green Growth and Global Goals, links with the UN's 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, which focus on 17 international crises. Urgent action on climate change is number 13. Frank Smith, Seoul. limelight.
The failure to contain COVID in the U.S. confirmed that U.S. approach to healthcare and public health is broken, and former President Donald Trump made a bad situation worse, says Mike Ludwig, reporter, in an article published under the heading, New Lancet Report Shows 40% of U.S. COVID deaths could have been avoided. Here's the details. If the United States had death rates on par with other wealthy nations, there would have been 40% fewer deaths attributed to COVID-19 last year. In 2018 alone, an estimated 461,000 fewer people would have died if the U.S. was as healthy as other countries. The failure to contain COVID in the U.S. confirmed that U.S. approach to healthcare and public health is broken, and former President Donald Trump made a bad situation worse. That's the message from a multidisciplinary commission of experts assembled to study the Trump administration by The Lancet, a long-standing medical journal that has publicly tussled with Trump over the course of the pandemic. Since 2017, the international team of 33 leading experts in clinical medicine, public health, epidemiology, community medicine, economics, nutrition, law, and politics has analyzed how the Trump administration's policies impact health. The result is a scathing and detailed new report that is an indictment of both Trump and a healthcare system that values profit over human life. The life expectancy in the U.S. began falling behind peers such as the United Kingdom, Germany, and France when Ronald Reagan became president in 1980. According to Kevin Grumbach, a professor of family and community medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, and co-author of the report, that is the turning point where health started falling in the United States compared to other G7 nations, Grumbach said in an interview. We totally shifted to conservative and neoliberal policies, and that corresponds with a deteriorating health in the U.S. relative to other nations, he added. Reagan instated policies that reduced the government's role in health care and education and accelerated the concentration of wealth among the upper classes. Since then, life expectancy has dropped 3.4 years behind other wealthy countries and remains even lower among Black people and Native Americans. The report found that before the pandemic, rates of midlife mortality among Black people and Native Americans were 42 and 59% higher, respectively, than for white people. People of color are more likely to die from COVID than white people, and the mortality gap between Black and white people has grown by 50% during the pandemic. The disastrous bungled response to the pandemic made clear how existing, long-standing racial inequities simply have not been addressed, said Mary T. Bassett, director of the FXB Center for Health and Human Rights at Harvard University and a member of the commission, in a statement recently. Reagan's neoliberal political philosophy stuck around under both Democratic and Republican administrators and created conditions for the rise of Trump. The report links health to trade liberalization that led to the outsourcing of manufacturing jobs, weakened unions, and left many parts of the U.S. to struggle economically. According to the report, Trump exploited anger among white voters over their deteriorating life prospects and stoked racism and nativism to win the 2016 election. That's the epidemic that we have been struggling through, not just through 4 years of Trump, but 40 years of failing to create the conditions that make for a wealthy and healthy society, Grombach said. As soon as he took office, Trump and Republicans in Congress moved to destroy the Affordable Care Act, which expanded health insurance for the millions of American people. The GOP's signature achievement, a massive tax cut for wealthy nation, opened holes in the federal budget that conservatives used to justify spending cuts on health and food assistance. While attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act failed spectacularly in Congress, the Trump administration used its executive powers to undermine the law. During the first 3 years of Trump's tenure, the number of people with health coverage dropped by 2.3 million, largely due to Trump's attacks on Medicaid, the program that provides health coverage to low-income people. About 760,000 kids and teens lost health coverage. Before the pandemic hit, the Trump administration proposed $920 billion in Medicaid cuts and was poised to require burdensome eligibility checks that would have pushed more people out of the program, according to the report. The Trump administration consistently favored corporate interests over public health when it came to climate and environment, and openly worked on behalf of the fossil fuel industry. The administration rolled back dozens of environmental regulations, allowing companies to spew more dangerous pollution into the air. Between 2016 and 2019, the number of deaths related to environmental and occupation hazards spiked to 22,000 after years of steady decline, according to the report. The administration also repeatedly attempted to suppress data showing the effects that pollution has on human health. The list goes on, but the Trump administration's response to the pandemic stands out. Grombach said Trump had already cut staff at public health agencies by the time the pandemic hit, severely weakening the nation's response. Meanwhile, Trump consistently spread disinformation about COVID, providing a preview of his efforts to overturn the election he lost. Attempting to deflect blame for a botched COVID response, Trump attacked China and World Health Organization, even citing The Lancet in a blistering letter to the WHO. The Lancet editor stepped in and confirmed that Trump was lying. By October 2020, the U.S. had the highest death rate among 18 other high-income countries, both from COVID and other health problems. However, Grombach said the problems exposed by COVID are bigger than Trump. Behind Trump's bluster and weakness in the face of the virus is a neoliberal ideology that shapes American healthcare system and sets the U.S. apart from other nations. It's an ideology that values corporate profits over the lives of the vulnerable and sees healthcare as a commodity to be bought and sold rather than a human right. In such an environment, public health measures such as masking in public and providing healthcare to immigrants are subject to polarizing debates, even though they benefit everyone. The Lancet's commission concludes that simply returning to pre-Trump era policies will not be enough to protect health of American people. Grombach said the entire system needs an overhaul. For starters, the U.S. should transition to a single-payer healthcare system like those set up in nations that have better life expectancy. Polling shows that 56% of likely voters in the U.S. support Medicare for All, the single-payer proposal championed by Senator Bernie Sanders and other progressives. Support for a public option that would compete with private insurance is even higher, although many people support both. The Commission recommendations go far beyond the healthcare system. A massive mobilization of resources, a Green New Deal, is needed to confront climate change, which poses myriad threats to public health. The U.S. spends 3.4% of its GDP on the military, while G7 countries with lower mortality rates only spend an average of 1.4% of GDP on defense. If the U.S. reduces foreign intervention and military spending to 1.4% of GDP, a massive amount of resources could be redirected to urgent social needs. Additionally, the war on drugs must come to an end, and new investments should be made in communities of color harmed by the criminal legal system and mass incarceration, according to the commission. While the wealthy have thrived, most Americans have lost ground, both economically and medically, said Steffi Woodhandler, who co-chairs the Lancet's Commission and lectures at Hunter College in Harvard. The Biden administration must reboot democracy and implement the progressive social health policies needed to put the country on the road to better life.
English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, the man who changed the world, and of course, as I say, who changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated to the great soul of Imam Khomeini. May God be pleased with him. And of course, we have been discussing in the last three programs different aspects of his personality. We've been looking at the sources as to what formed those characteristics, those virtues in this great personality, and how he has shaped not only the events, the historic and epic events in what happened in the Islamic Republic and the formation of the Islamic Republic. Of course, these are separate issues that need to be discussed later on at length as to the actual events of what of the Islamic revolution that took place here. But of course, Imam himself said that this is an Islamic revolution. An Islamic revolution means that this is a complete reformation of our understanding of not only the religion of Islam, but our understanding of God. And it was not only for Muslims, but it was for non-Muslims as well and for the people of the book. And we are going to look into aspects in this program about the Imam, which defined his divine characteristics. And, you know, we've discussed with our guest, Dr. Husni, on this program about simplicity, virtues of honesty, and looking at purity of intention and will and determination. And we also talked about this divine courage which stems from faith. So first of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hasni again to the program to help me discuss these wonderful attributes of the Imam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for being on the program. Dr. Hasni, take us a little bit further now on this aspect of purity of intention, sincerity, something I think lacking, something that's pretty much lacking in most Muslim societies, this concept of sincerity. I mean, there's a big aspect to this, and you could see that sincerity in the Imam, in Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, immediately. I mean, it was not something that, you know, you needed to, as in the words of this journalist who wrote this book, My Beautiful Experience, I'm talking about this man, Robin Woodrose, he says that, you know, I came to, like most journalists do, they came to our country to find out who's the leader and to do a bit of research on the man to find out what is his weaknesses, what are his strengths, what are his characteristics. But he says, I didn't need to do any of that. I just looked at him and my questions were answered. Is that the purity of sincerity?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Good subject. We need to think about again and try to talk about it as simple as
we
possible.
Can. Yeah. As you say, without clouding the issue.
Right.
Yeah.
On the issue of purity of intention, again, goes back to the definition. If you know who you are, if you know your limit, I should put it this way. If you know your limit, that the real source belongs to him.
Right.
It comes from him. And let's not forget, it goes back to him.
Yes.
If you pollute the source, okay, the pollution has a price to pay back. This is what, when you talk about sin here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is only beginning. Purity of intention, you know to have your limit, who happens to be your creator, God Almighty. We talked about this before.
Sure.
But we're trying to get some other points at
yes,
the same time.
Yes, yes.
If you know your limit, then you think about, you should think about the source. Source is pure. What does it mean? It means when his knowledge, let's get serious about this and simple at the same time.
Sure.
The creator knows what he created, what kind of capacity, what kind of feelings, what kind of different dimensions of the being he created.
Yes.
Therefore, he has a prescription, a true one, a right one for every single different situation.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, sometimes I think about life as a conditional statement. I have to explain what I mean by
yeah,
that.
Yeah, please do. Please.
You
do.
Know, think about a keyboard on a computer.
Yeah.
Every button you touch, something will happen. Mm-hmm. If you touch delete, what happens?
Well,
it deletes.
Yeah, it deletes.
All the information is gone.
All the information is gone.
Can you bring it back?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
It's gone.
It's gone.
This is what I mean by polluting. If you don't know the action of one particular button, what would you do? What are you supposed to do? You should ask.
Yeah.
You should read the manual.
Exactly. The manual that we
the manual that we were talking
about.
Remember,
the last
Quran is a manual, a complete one. A complete manual for all human beings for their own direction.
For their perfection.
For their perfection.
And salvation.
And salvation.
Yeah.
Which we call guidance.
Yes, yes.
The guidance of Allah comes through, it's written within the manual, which is Quran.
Yes.
Purity of intention, it means that you are limited. Therefore, you cannot do things that later on you're going to face difficulties.
Yes.
When you are not pure, with your when you don't think about purity in this sense, you're going to lie.
Yes. And it's easy for you.
And it's very easy at the time.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, with the least cost.
Yes.
With the least expenses.
Yes.
You can get away with it.
Now, let me throw in something into the works here, because what we are talking about here is something very, very significant about the Imam's personality. And what I want to get to is this. You just mentioned the fact that if you're coming from a polluted source, it's very easy to lie. And wasn't politics...
And you know, the main,
please let me finish this point. The politicians of the West, because they're coming from a polluted source, in other words, they're taking their politics from Machiavelli, the source being the concepts of politics or the understanding of the science of politics.
And when you can justify everything.
And justify everything, even though you're lying.
And you know it, you're lying.
And you know you're lying, and you're caught. This is what happens to these politicians, isn't it?
You get caught red-handed.
Yeah, you get these scandals, don't you, that, you know, after a certain period in power, whatever speech they've said at that particular time, some journalist who has done his research finds out that you said something quite the contrary to that.
And they bring it out.
And they bring it out.
On the check and balance system.
Right. And that they're caught, and then the reputation goes out of the window.
Which
then
they don't care.
Which, yeah, they're exactly. They're shameless. That's true. That's another issue. But what I'm coming to about the Imam is, and certainly what Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, which we were discussing because he's coming from a pure source.
The reason I say they don't care, because the next subject we're going to talk about, you should ask me about the sincerity.
Yes, yes.
There's a connection between sincerity and purity.
We've introduced the idea, right. But because of the purity of his intention, and we want to go into the fact that he was practicing this purity of intention through his five-time prayer, because it's been recorded that he never, ever missed his prayer on time. Because remember, he points this out to us.
Mm-hmm.
He says that to us over and over again. Do this on time. Because this qualifies you to come into that scope of sincerity, simplicity, honesty, and purity of intention. Because it shows that you have complete faith and love to do something for your Creator as he's asked you to obey him. But at the end of the day, Imam Khomeini was, may God bless his soul, never changed his argument, even before he wasn't known as Imam, and even after the revolution.
It wasn't even debatable for him.
It wasn't debatable. Why was it that the people in Washington and Moscow were so certain and so afraid that whatever the Imam says now, that's it. That's final. Doesn't that come out of purity
of intention?
Brother,
in the ecosystem of life, I should call it, in the ecosystem of life, if you're polluting your surroundings, you're not going to survive.
No, you won't.
As simple as that.
Yeah. But this is why he stands...
That's why he cared about his time of praying and everything else.
Yes. Because what I'm seeing is...
But
that
if you think about this in a different way, sooner or later you're going to find some particular instance that it might be questionable for you. Like Imam did something... You cannot reason it in your own mind. There's nobody to ask about it, okay? Then it becomes a contradiction with beliefs, because we talk about beliefs here now.
Yes, quite.
I don't know if I made my point.
No, you have. Made your point, yes.
If in the ecosystem of life, you know you are pure. You're in the fountain of purity, okay? This is the word, this is actually the philosophy behind Salawat. The salutation of God upon his holy prophet.
Yes.
Which we do. Something we cannot do. Only we ask
God
to
do for us.
Allahumma salli.
Yes.
It
yes.
means we are not able.
We are not
you
able.
You do it for us.
You do it
with
for us.
With the help of you, we get, brother, with the help of God, we get under that purified fountain of mercy.
Quite.
This is the beauty of understanding of Quranic and Islamic teaching, which is one thing. Okay? Purity of intention. Because of that, he always knows where he's coming from. Again, back to this is not the tradition that you forget and you cannot applicate different situation to it. No, it is applicable. One particular understanding, true understanding of Quranic teaching, can take you forever.
Exactly.
From A to B.
Exactly.
To the completion and also to the right destination without any damage.
Imam Khomeini, as we are saying right now, God bless his soul, this sincerity of intention brings him to the point of truth. And it is truth that he wants to get across
and
to the people.
And it is truth and truthness that can take you to the sincerity.
Exactly.
When you do care, this is the only way.
Well, what I wanted to get to was the fact that this truth is not something new in terms of the fact of what, may God bless his great soul, what he did. But because he's coming from the household of those who are known as the truth. Because I want to take people back.
That is important. Yes.
Yeah, I want to take people back to that point where the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had to get his message, the truth of his prophethood, across to the people of the book. Now, let's put this in context here. Let's face it. Washington and Moscow, although Moscow was following an atheistic ism called communism.
All the isms.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But basically, they come from the tradition of being followers of Jesus Christ. They are the people of the book.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah. Now, I want to take that back to this mobala, this challenge, this mutual cursing, they call it in
this
Arabic.
Argument, yes.
Yeah. This is a very important because this was where this purity of intention must work. Otherwise, the whole message is going to fail.
It's gone.
The people at that time, the Christians of that time, doubted the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They doubted this revelation that was coming. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was the final prophet. This was something that was like an aberration. The Holy Prophet The Holy Prophet says to the people of Medina that this is a day on which only the truthful will go forward. Because we have to ask and pray to Allah that if whichever party is telling the lies or is being false or coming from a contaminated source, as we are talking about, remove them from this earth. But we all know what happened in the end. But at the same time, this is where the imam's function is so important, that the tradition, the source that he's coming from, in which this purity of intention and truth has to be reflected to those who still cast doubt and dispersion on Islam. So, isn't that important in terms
on the issue of purity of intention and sincerity, they go together again.
Yes.
Just like horse and carriage.
Yes.
I give you another example with regard to this important thing. You are in a caravan. You're traveling.
Yes.
Okay? You need a guide. You are going to, from A to B.
Yeah.
You are going to get to the destination.
Yeah. You need a map.
Without being robbed, without being killed,
yes,
murdered on the way.
Yeah,
you need a guide as a caravan leader, okay, to take you to destination.
Yeah,
let's suppose, which is a correct one in this assumption, on this assumption, the assumption is this: from A to B, okay, it's a long way from here to hereafter.
Yes,
it's a long way. It's so many different stops.
Yeah.
So many different stop points, stations, I should say.
Sure.
A guide can take you, let's say his limit, his life is limit. Okay? Let's say this long distance journey, trip, whatever. The guide can take you from A in order to get you to the B. There is some other small points and a station on the way.
Yes.
He takes you to a certain point. He says, look, my time is over. For whatever reason, okay? My time is over. But from here to another station,
yes,
to another manzil, to another point, this so-and-so is going to take you, because you hired me, listen to this, you hired me to take me to B, to the destination, to the final destination.
Sure.
But here, this is part of my service to you.
Yes.
I don't do it all the way because of whatever, for the sake of argument, if we say 10,000 of kilometers, this is just, you know, mere talk.
Yes.
But you talk about from here to hereafter is a long way.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you need a guide. So from here, Mr. So-and-so is going to take you.
Yeah.
And from that particular point, somebody else is going to be in charge.
Sure.
Is it possible to say, let's say Jesus, peace be upon him, the holy prophet of God, who happens to be, remember what we said in the previous program?
Sure.
Who happens to be Abd.
Yes, a servant.
Submitted, total submission to God.
Quite.
He only says what God told him. You know why they killed prophets?
They didn't like the message.
They didn't like the message. Hey, don't kill me.
They didn't like the destination they were being sent to.
Don't know the expression. Hey, don't kill me. I'm only a messenger.
No, I'm only the messenger.
You know why? Because you cannot kill, brother, you cannot kill the message.
You
kill the messenger.
You
think in your own limited wrong thinking, you think by getting rid of the prophets, you don't have to listen to the rest
of it.
hey, do this, do that, because in the manual is bunch of conditions, it's bunch of statements, in bunch of doings and not doings.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Do this, don't do that. Mm. A religion that doesn't tell you, let me tell you this, because while we're on the subject.
Yeah, sure, why not?
A religion that doesn't tell you what to do, everybody loves that. Think about what I just said.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why Christianity nowadays, okay, I mean, on the surface, you look at, look, all I do whatever I please during the day. At the end of day, I go, we're not on TV to show.
Yeah.
You do the cross.
Yeah.
I say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yeah. And
that's
do confession.
It.
Do confession.
And you confession.
Yeah.
You go to a priest, you confess. This is a totally different subject.
Yes.
But back to what? Because we're talking about sincerity.
Yes.
The purity of intention.
Mm.
If you are pure, if you are purified in the set of your thinking, and you're trying to be sincere about following one particular guy or leader, which you're supposed to, is it possible that Jesus, peace be upon him, did not tell the caravan, listen to me,
yes, right.
didn't tell the caravan that from now on, okay, because you talk about how many years?
500
some years, okay? The next leader supposed, and he did, and Jesus, peace be upon him, introduced the next leader or the next guy, which we believe that is the prophet of Islam.
Dr. Hussain, I think it's worth you mentioning that ayah from the Quran that starts from Hazrat Adam, that I created this man as a representative of myself on earth, that this is, in the Arabic language, a continuous system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that was the earth is absent of.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But I didn't finish the point.
Yeah, but please finish that.
The finishing point is this, okay? If we're... Here, we're just talking about what common sense
says. Yes.
Okay, the purity. If you are purified, that means you are connected to the source.
Yes.
Therefore, your intention is good. Mm. Your intention is okay. It can provide you all the good things.
Yes.
Because you are connecting to the real source.
Sure.
Therefore, you are sincere because you don't have to lie.
Mm.
And because you truly want to go from A to B without any damage.
Sure.
So on the way, you listen to whoever the guy tells you. You know, my argument is this.
Mm.
If you are sincere, see yourself limitless. You are see yourself powerful because you are connected to the source.
Exactly.
And if you are abandoned in the middle of the way, you're not going to get nowhere.
No, you'll be lost.
The point is this. Like it or not, we can, sit here and argue forever.
Mm.
But we're not trying to, waste our time.
Mm.
Because any argument has to have an aim, a goal. We're trying to reach a point of learning about the truth. You know what truth is? In Arabic, they call it haq.
Haq, yes.
The mere translation, brother, for haq is something constant.
Something stable.
Something is stable. Something you can count on.
On.
Something you can count on.
Quite.
Let's talk simple.
Quite.
Okay? You can count on Allah because He has the power.
Yes.
He has the knowledge.
Mm.
He's wise.
Mm.
Okay? And He doesn't do anything baseless,
yes.
without any goal, without any aim.
And the point being here that this guidance, this spirituality, this purity of intention and truth lies with some special people.
Exactly. Now back to... Imam Khomeini.
Khomeini, because we have to put it into that context.
He was pure.
Yes.
Because he was connected to the source.
Exactly.
And source is, brother, another argument.
Yes.
Another debate.
Yes.
Source is not too many.
No.
It's not so many. It's only one.
One.
Because
the principle of Tawheed.
You know, there is a verse in Quran.
Mm.
If there was two gods, most surely you would see the corruption.
Yeah.
Because every God, you know.
Yes, yes.
The assumption is this.
Yes.
God is limitless, okay? God is powerful, and God does whatever he wants, okay? Imagine two gods. He wants to go this way. The other one wants to go that way. That's corruption.
Yeah.
Corruption in true sense, we're talking about. We're not talking about corruption. It means something that is not is supposed to be on the place and is not.
Let me put it this way, Doctor.
And the place is the source.
Yeah, let me put it this way, Dr. Hasni, that the main thing is, it's not even a question of us even debating the fact that there is one or two gods. The problem is our thinking, our imagination of what we think.
The fantasies we're going through.
The fantasy of
the daydreaming.
The daydreaming of what we think is our existence.
Exactly.
That is the problem, because at the end of the day,
this is a serious problem for humankind through the history.
Because what I want to get to is the fact that it's not the fact that people don't believe in God. Everybody believes in God.
But you have to prove it with your actions.
No. The thing is that Islam teaches us how to think about
exactly,
that God.
The means of.
The meaning of that God.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is what I meant by giving you the example of the caravan and the leader.
Exactly. And this is what Imam Khomeini brings.
Brother, this is very important while we're on the subject.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the when you talk about the history of Islam, true Islam.
Yes.
We only have one Islam.
Mm.
We don't have so many of them.
Yeah.
The story goes with what happened after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes.
Same thing. Hey, caravan got to that point after 20 years of hardship that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, 23 years.
Yes.
You know, 10 years in Mecca and 13
years
after
Medina.
Migration
after
to
Hijra.
Medina.
Yes,
after
right.
Hijra.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it feasible?
Mm.
This is my question to you.
Yeah.
I need you to elaborate on this.
Sure, sure.
Because it's not, you know, that I say so.
Mm.
We're talking about reasoning here, logic.
Yes.
Is it feasible to think that at this particular point of the caravan of Muslims at the time, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought him to this point and said, hey, after here, you're on your own. Is it feasible to think?
No.
This is my question.
No, it's not.
I'd like to hear more from you.
Well, the thing
what
is...
What happened?
Well, I mean, we don't need to go far.
You talk about sincerity in intention.
No, we don't need to go far
you
because...
talk about purity in intention and sincerity.
Yeah, we don't need to go far because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, even in that 13 years, while he was in Medina, establishing the principles and the foundations of the Tawheed of Islam, he points out two things, two very important things that he keeps emphasizing on. There are so many...
On so many different occasions.
Yeah, occasions.
And in one particular one, in detail, that everything is written about it. And
right.
So many different narrations talking about
it. I mean, the thing is that at the end of the day, we have so many verses in the Quran which refer to this point, that... He says in a tradition that my family, these infallibles, these 12 infallibles, holy infallibles who will follow after me, they are the ship of the Ark of Nu.
This is only example.
This is only
in
example.
In order to think.
You think. But the Quran says, the Holy Quran says, after the last khutbah is given in the Hajj, it's given to him as an order that say to them now,
that if you don't do that,
if you don't do this
it's
particular
just like
thing,
you didn't do the whole thing.
You didn't do the whole thing, and I'll save you from the kafirun.
Mm-hmm.
The
I
word
protect
is,
you.
Yeah, I protect
this
you
is
from
what you're talking about. Source, brother, let me tell you this.
Yeah,
what happened after Prophet? Where did they go wrong?
Exactly.
What went wrong?
What went wrong?
Because they disconnected themselves from the source because of look at the mentality.
Yes.
Because they felt like they don't need it.
Yeah, they felt
the same thing happened with Christianity
and
Jewish faith.
Excuse me, may I make that quote? What does it say in Arabic? They say that the Holy Quran is enough for us.
Hasbunal Kitab Allah.
Hasbunal Kitab
Allah. Quran is enough for us.
Yeah.
But Quran has to have a teacher, according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
This is the story of very good, important subject and significant at the same time, purity of intention and sincerity. When you're connected to the source, let's summarize it. Then you see yourself with someone who knows what's going on.
Dr. Hasni, thank you very much for that. And as I say, I hope the listeners have enjoyed our discussion about the great holy personality of Imam Khomeini, God bless him. And there are so many dimensions still to be discussed. We've just, as I say, we've just scraped the surface. We haven't even done anything yet. But let's carry on in the next session and talk more about
God willing, we'll do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, with the inshallah, with the more aspects of this great personality. But it's enough for me to say at this moment in time. Thank you very much for listening.
You are more
May
than
the
welcome.
Peace and blessings of Allah and mercy be upon you all. Thank you and goodbye.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل درجه.
The Light.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country. Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up preparations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and the Pris will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting Pris will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multi-purpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021 in support of the space station assembly, maintenance, and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yisa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yisa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild. A Brazilian artist has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sra recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
Eu
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure, deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries, it consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high, with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size, with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiandu ruins. Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents, known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. A Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second born in a French zoo this year. Caretakers say the calves will stay with a facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
The line is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Now, the iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. Countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies. A French musician helps patients in an end-of-life care home to escape from pain by playing the cello for them. Let's have a listen.
Music soothes pain as music eases their symptoms. In palliative care, in end-of-life care, there is sometimes still pain in spite of the morphine, in spite of the drugs that really help manage the pain of the patients. They still feel pain, and music really has a calming power on the residual pain of palliative care patients.
The sound of Claire Oppert's solo cello resonates through the rooms of Jean Garnier end-of-life care home in southern Paris on Fridays. She plays for patients who suffer from physical pain as well as terminal illnesses. The center's staff say music lightens patients' moods and puts them in a calm state.
After Claire leaves the room, we find the patients in a calm state, at times moved, at times happy. A lot happens. There are moments of tears, moments of joy. When we go into the room, we find there is an encounter with the person and his or her story.
I'm in permanent pain. The music helps a little to escape from the pain, I think. You pay attention to the music, and if it's a piece you know, you anticipate the next note. There you go. It's like that.
Claire has been playing the cello for patients in end-of-life care for almost a decade. She says the fact that music makes people feel good has been known since the beginning of humanity, but today it needs to be proven scientifically. Therefore, she has made it her mission to demonstrate the therapeutic effects of music on patients by taking medical studies.
A Russian zoo is delighted to welcome a new resident, a rare snow white wallaby. The cute Joey named Elisa was born at Regina Zoo in the southwestern city of Kazan. Zookeepers say she is healthy, playful, and has won the visitors' attention. Interestingly enough, Elisa's brother Alec was born with normal pigmentation. Wallabies are members of the kangaroo family. The albino wallaby, which has no skin pigmentation and pink eyes, is believed to be extremely rare.
peaceful moment.